Good evening, everyone. Good evening to the people on the Zoom land. So, it is such a privilege to preach the Word of God. Let's ask the Lord for help. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you gave us the Bible. Father, we also thank you that you gave us your Holy Spirit to teach us. So, Father, we pray through your Holy Spirit, you will teach us, lead us, guide us, help us to learn, help us to understand, help us to obey. Thank you, Father, as we commit this Bible study into your hands, and bless us all, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So, I'm going to read verses 50 to 58. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. That's the authorized version. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that the flesh and the blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Your moment is the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and the way shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grief, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let me share my screen to you. So the problem of a perishable flesh. So the Apostle Paul begins with a foundational, undeniable truth. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So our current bodies, these vessels of clay, are perishable. They are subject to sickness, decay, and ultimately death. They are corrupted by sin. You cannot take a mortal fallen body into an immortal, perfect kingdom. It is an impossibility. (Clears throat) This is the universal human condition. From the moment of Adam's fall, the decree has echoed through the generations. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. But God, in his word, has given us glimpse, foreshadowings of a different way. Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Genesis 5, verse 24. Consider the ancient things. There was Enoch. Genesis 5:24 tells us, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He did not say this. He was simply translated, removed from this mortal plane to God's presence without passing through the grave. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. So the author of Hebrews confirmed this, saying of Enoch, Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying, because he pleased God. 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Then there was the great prophet Elijah. 2 Kings 2, verse 11 describes his glorious departure. 2 Kings 2, 11. And it came to pass as the seer went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both as under. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He too was taken. So these were miraculous exceptions, a divine preview of a coming reality. This means that God has a plan to overcome the problem of our perishable flesh. So this man were the exception that proves the rule. They show us that God has a plan to overcome the problem of our perishable flesh. So how can we, who are flesh and blood, inherit in the kingdom? The Apostle Paul reveals a mystery, the promise, the mystery of change. So Bill McDonald writes in his Believer's Bible Commentary, a mystery is a New Testament truth not previously revealed, but now made known to believers by the apostles and the prophets of the early church age. So the mystery is, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. The term sleep in the Bible carries both a literal and a figurative spiritual meaning, depending on the context. Number one, literary meaning, in this plain sense, sleep simply refers a natural rest, the state of the body when one ceases from physical activities, as in Psalm 4:8, Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. In this sense, it describes the normal human need for rest and refreshment. So number two, figurative meaning, sleep as death. So in many passages, particularly in the Old Testament and the New Testament, sleep is used as a gentle metaphor for death, especially the death of the righteous. It emphasizes the temporary nature of death and the hope of resurrection. So, Old Testament examples, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. And David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Here, sleep describes death in a peaceful, hopeful sense, not final extinction. New Testament examples, John chapter 11, verse 11. John chapter 11, verse 11. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The Lord Jesus used sleep to describe Lazarus' death, showing that for believers, death is not permanent. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the Apostle Paul comforts believers that those who have fallen asleep in Christ will be raised when the Lord returns. Thus, sleep portrays death as temporary rest before resurrection. Much like a believer resting until the Lord calls them to awaken in glory. Number three is the figurative meaning, sleep as spiritual indifference. So, in another figurative sense, sleep can mean spiritual laziness, apathy, or moral carelessness. Being unaware of God's will or the coming judgment. So Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer when we believed. Here, sleep is not death, but spiritual sluggishness. A call for believers to awaken to holy living and the readiness for the Lord's return. So let me show the summary table. So sense of sleep, literary physical rest, Psalm 4:8. Metaphorical death, death of the body, temporary until resurrection. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Spiritual indifference or moral laziness. So in summary, sleep in the Bible symbolizes rest, death, or spiritual indifference. But for believers, it most beautifully pictures death as a peaceful rest in Christ until the resurrection. The Amplified Bible is a translation of the scriptures designed to bring out the full meaning of the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Greek texts. First published in 1965 by the Lachman Foundation, it uses parentheses, brackets, and synonyms to expand the key words and the phrases, helping readers grasp the depths and the nuance often found in the original languages. Its goal is to make the Bible's message clearer and more expressive for modern readers without departing from faithful translation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, we just read that. So this is Amplified Bible version. Let me read it to you, or you may look at the screen. So let me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery, brackets, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden, but now revealed. We will not all sleep, brackets in death, brackets, but we will be all completely changed, wondrously transformed. In this verse, sleep portrays death as a temporary rest before resurrection. So we are not all in death, but we will all be completely, wondrously transformed. So this points us to the glorious, blessed hope of the church, the rapture. So first, the Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So the rapture is the event where the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13 to 18 to you in authorized version. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May God bless the reading of his word. So for the sake of time, we won't cover every detail in these verses, but let me share with you a few key outlines that summarize the message. Number one, the promise of the rapture that is in verse 13 and 14. Number two, the process of the rapture. So in verse 13 and 14, the rapture is not a secret for scholars, but a comfort for saints. God does not want his children to live in confusion or fear about the future. So number two is the process of the rapture, that is verse 15 to 17. You may read it by yourself at home. Number three, the purpose of the rapture. That's in verse 18. The teaching of the rapture is not meant to stir argument, but to bring comfort. So the rapture is not a distant dream. It is a divine appointment. So, but notice the crucial detail. We shall all be changed. The living will not be taken in their mortal bodies. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, a transformation will occur. This corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So the trump of God will not be a mere single. It will be a shofar blast of victory, shattering the chains of mortality. It will be a creative word from God, more powerful than the word that spoke the universe into existence. That will instantly refashion our lowly bodies to be like Christ's glorious body. This is the fulfillment of what Enoch and Elijah experienced. They were the preview. The rapture of the church will be the full harvest. It is God's divine solution to the problem of our flesh and the blood. He does not just remove us, he transforms us. So, the power and the praise. And what is the source of this victory? Where does this power to conquer death and the grief come from? It is not from within us. It is not from science or philosophy. It is found in one person and one event. The sting of death is sin. Death has its venom, its power to terrify and condemn because of our sin. And the strength of sin is the law, which condemns us as lawbreakers. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the cross. There, our Lord Jesus Christ took the sting of death upon himself. He became sin for us. He absorbed the full burden of the serpent into his own body. He fulfilled the law's righteous demands and bore its terrible curse. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood shed on the cross, paid the price to redeem us from the slavery of sin and death. He died for you. He died for me. And on the third day, he rose again, triumphant, proving that sin was paid for, death was defeated. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of our own. His victory is our victory. He is the first fruits And we who belong to him are the harvest. This is why we can have faith, the kind of faith that Enoch had, a faith that pleases God. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we believe he is, and we believe his promise of resurrection and reward. Therefore, what then should be our response to this glorious truth? The Apostle Paul gives the application. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because death is defeated, because our transformation is guaranteed, because our victory is secure in Jesus Christ, we do not grieve as those without hope. We do not labor as those without purpose. We do not live as those without a future. Our suffering is temporary. Our grief is momentary. But our victory is eternal. So stand firm, be unshakable, pour yourselves out in the work of the Lord. In your homes, your workplaces, your ministries. That kind word, that act of service, that prayer uttered, that gospel shared, none of it is vain. It is all invested in the eternal kingdom that we, with our new immortal bodies, will inherit. The grief is not your end. It is the doorway to glory. Death has lost its sting. Let us rise today to live in the light of this victory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. O death, where is thy sting? O grief, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God is a triumphant choral finale of part three of George Frederick Handel's monumental oratorio. Messiah, that's HW56, following the profound theological journey of part one, the prophets and birth of Christ, and part two, the passion, death, and resurrection. Part three focuses on the Christian hope of eternal life and the final victory over death. This chorus is the explosive and joyous culmination of the hope. But thanks be to God is a chorus of unbridled joy and profound gratitude. Through its energetic rhythms, masterful counterpoint, and powerful declarations, Handel gave us musical form to the concept of our final victory, making it a true uplifting and unforgettable moment in classical music. So the text is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, King James Version. Let's enjoy it together. I will play it for you.
Smartphone connected.
Yeah, sorry for that delay. Almost there. Jesus Christ. We thank you that the sting of death has been drawn, that the power of the grave has been shattered by the resurrection of your Son. Because he lives, we too shall live. Father, as we leave this place, seal this eternal truth upon our hearts. Help us to live in the glorious reality of this promised victory. Make us, we pray, steadfast and unmovable. When the winds of trial blow and the storms of grief arise, anchor our souls in the hope of our transformation. When we grow weary in well-doing, remind us that our labor in you is never, ever in vain. Fill us with your spirit that we might be always abounding in the work of the Lord. May our hands serve, our voice witness, and our lives testify to the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Let our everyday be lived in the eager anticipation of the final trumpet sound, when we shall be changed in a moment, and mortality shall be swallowed up by life. Until that glorious day, keep us faithful, keep us hopeful, keep us abiding in the vine, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Separate us with your blessings and take each of us home in safety. Bless us all as we commit ourselves into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord bless you.